third case this morning, which is... Jankovic versus Exelon Corporation. Mr. Haber?
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Andrew Haber, counsel. May it please the court. I represent Mona Jankovic, the plaintiff appellant. She appeals from a summary judgment in favor of defendant appellees, Commonwealth Edison, and Exelon Corporation on her age discrimination claim. Three issues I'd like to address today are: did the trial court weigh conflicting evidence regarding whether comments stated reasons for her 1989-2000 year-end performance evaluations were pretext? Two, in finding that the younger co-worker, Anka Konecevich, was not similarly situated to Ms. Jankovic, did the trial court disregard a complaint by a contractor that reported Ms. Jankovic to replace her on the job? And third, did the trial court err by finding that Ms. Jankovic failed to meet ComEd's legitimate expectations based on standards that ComEd heightened retroactively? Jankovic started ComEd in 1971. In 1999, she was a customer facilities engineer. She engineered and managed construction projects to bring electrical service to customers and acted as an interface between ComEd and customers. ComEd had an employee evaluation system, results-based planning in place, where the performance of each management employee was rated either A, distinguished accomplishments, B, achieved expectations, or C, more as expected. Ms. Jankovic brought suit on the C rating she received for the years 1999 to 2000, and as a result of getting two C ratings, Ms. Jankovic's employment was terminated in accordance with ComEd's policy, two C's in or out. The court reviewed summary judgment de novo.
Isn't a big problem she has here her performance and the fact that there were customer complaints and her co-workers complained? So don't you have a problem with showing that prong of meeting the employer's expectations?
I have two responses to that, Your Honor. First of all, if either C was reversed, we wouldn't be here because Ms. Jankovic would not be terminated. For 1999, Ms. Jankovic, At the end of 1999, her supervisor, Superintendent Lee Haas, sat down with her, gave her an evaluation, and gave her a B rating that she met ComEd's expectations. It was a couple months, and if you look at her performance review, prior to the time that he went back and changed it, there's absolutely nothing in the written review that he wrote in December of 1999 that indicates any problems whatsoever.
No, but there was the re-evaluation of all the employees, was there not? I mean, she wasn't singled out to be re-evaluated, and under the new re-evaluation procedure, there was a different grade. And that re-evaluation was prompted by all the problems that had occurred in terms of ComEd delivering services, so there was a legitimate reason for the re-evaluation.
There's a legitimate reason for the overall re-evaluation, but in practice, it allowed and actually resulted in undeserved C ratings being given, including Ms. Jankovic's. And in this case, the reasons just did not hold water. For 1999, Mr. Haas relied on one single complaint from a construction supervisor, and Mr. Haas admitted in his deposition that he was not sure that any problems Ms. Jankovic had with co-workers in 1999 were significant. That's on staff at page 46. And he also admitted that he didn't know which job Mr. Unruh was even complaining about. And that's his step at page 86. The point is that supervisors were pressured to give undeserved Q ratings, and when that happened, if the ratings were not based on performance, then the jury could be free to find that it was based on discrimination.
But would you agree that the high numbers, the high numbers of high ratings could not be proper, considering the repeated power outages and the avalanche of complaints from consumers?
There is no question, Mr. Jankovich did not dispute that the company had a right to go back and reevaluate employees. But for the prime thing, first of all, the evidence in her case that she wasn't meeting expectations in 1993 a week, and second of all, the legitimate expectations phase, her performance was accepted, and in Flowers versus Crouch Walker Corporation, a company cannot go back and claim that employee's work is not acceptable when it's already accepted under the standards at the time. Maybe it's an argument with regard to pretext, but with regard to meeting legitimate expectations, an employer should not be able to go back and change standards that were in existence at the time.
Yeah, but the problem is the standard was changed for a legitimate reason. It was because of all the power outages, and she wasn't singled out. Everybody was reevaluated because of all the complaints. So, if it were a different scenario, she was the only one, if no one else had been reviewed, then you're moving toward down the discrimination road. But I think you have a problem here.
Well, I'd like to give your honor to a RIF. There may be a very good reason for a RIF, but that doesn't mean that in the application of it, there can't be discrimination. And I think that's similar to what happened here. The company has.
What reason does Ms. Jankovich have to believe that Mr. Haas gave her a poor review because of her age?
She believes that he was pressured by John Jamesich, Mr. Haas' supervisor. Mr. Haas changed Ms. Jankovich's rating when Mr. Jamesich called and said, "Can you give me any more C's?" And about the same time, Mr. Jamesich called another superintendent, Robert Switek, and told him he's got to come up with some C's.
I know, but that's not my question. My question is because of her age.
Well, we're just relying on pretext analysis, Your Honor. Assuming that Ms. Jankovich met her prima facie case, it's not a good reason for a selection, the fact that the younger, similarly situated employee, Anka Konecevich, was treated better.
But how can you maintain that she was similarly situated when one has a number of complaints, the other has nearly a single complaint, which involved a very complex project, which Ms. Nesbitt's supervisor didn't think she should have been assigned because she was inexperienced. Well, first you're talking about a number of complaints, vis-a-vis a complaint with a real reason.
Well, for 1999, there's really, for all intents and purposes, one complaint. ComEd admitted that Austin Hooks did not complain to Mr. Haas in 1999. With regard to 2000, I believe we're getting into weighing the evidence when we try to decide, should we count a few complaints more than one complaint? Should we count a serious complaint less than another complaint? I think that's weighing the evidence, which is not permitted on summary judgment.
What positive made them similarly situated?
Pardon me?
What are the positive points that make them similarly situated?
Well, the main thing, Your Honor, is that ComEd treated them as if they were. At both 1999 and 2000, the supervisors rank ordered by performance all the customer facilities engineers and did not exclude Ms. Knesovich because she had not been there as long as Ms. Jankovich. So they were treated the same. Second of all, Ms. Knesovich said that after a few months she started getting her own assignments, and then the assignments were divided up merely by geographic area, that they were not divided up by difficulty or type of job, residential, commercial. They had the same jobs. The only difference was Ms. Jankovich had a slightly larger territory.
You've got less, probably less than a minute now.
I'll reserve the rest of your time. Thank you.
Mr. Goss?
Good morning.
Sorry.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Scott Gross, representing the defendants in this matter. I'd like to start with the prima facie elements, given the questions that have been raised about that. One critical piece of evidence that the plaintiff has not pointed to that defeats the prima facie element is the fact that Ms. Knesovich herself had not ever received a C rating. Plaintiff tries to dissect the 1999 C rating from the 2000 C rating. Even if you accept their position that the one single complaint that was raised about Ms. Knesovich's work in 2000 somehow is a complaint comparable to the vast number of complaints that Ms. Jankovich had, the fact was there was no complaint prior to that. And therefore, the 1999 C rating itself, Ms. Knesovich cannot by any stretch be claimed to be similarly situated and therefore treated more favorably as a younger employee. The other issue on prima facie case elements that is worth pointing out at this point is the fact that at no point did Mr. Haas ever receive any complaints about Ms. Knesovich's work. That is undisputed in the record, and therefore that also precludes any finding that Ms. Jankovich has satisfied that element of the prima facie case. On the pretext side of things, a key argument that Ms. Jankovich is proposing here to the court is this whole notion of quotas and pressure on supervisors. And I think as a factual and a legal matter, that cannot be used to establish pretext. The key piece of evidence that is undisputed is that Mr. Haas and Mr. Perez both testified on the record that they did not ever believe that they were required to give anyone C ratings at any point. Certainly any pressure that a Mr. Swisak might have felt to give C ratings for Mr. Jamesich can't be imputed to Mr. Haas and Mr. Perez. There's definitely no connection between those two, and they certainly had nothing to do with Ms. Jankovich's evaluation. Even if plaintiffs could present some evidence that there was pressure, or even that there was some kind of quota, that as a matter of law cannot defeat summary judgment. Mr. Haber mentioned the RIF reference, and I think it's instructive here that this court has affirmed summary judgment in RIF cases where the managers were required to select a certain number of people to be terminated in a RIF. Probably the ultimate quota situation in the employment context where the managers are directed to do so. This court has always held that for plaintiffs to receive summary judgment in that context, the plaintiff has to present evidence that the decision makers picking of that plaintiff for the RIF was somehow dishonest. The court has never said that the mere fact that the decision maker had to pick someone somehow creates an inference or a suggestion that the manager was not honest in their reasoning.
Of course, when you walk, you know, I mean, to see, when you look at the facts, she's let go just as she's entitled to significantly increased pension and severance benefits, and you know, the timing is pretty uncomfortable the day before her 30th anniversary with ComEd.
I understand that, Your Honor, and the company has always regretted when situations like that arise, but I think here the position that plaintiff found herself in was a function of work performance, and that was the issue, and that's what led to that. The company did have a separation plan that gave her certain benefits because of that situation, but again, I do regret that that had occurred, and I regret the timing of it. But the bottom line, I think, is that it was performance issues that led to this happening. One other key position that Ms. Jankovich seems to rely on in her brief is the notion of what the written performance evaluations did not say. She tried to create the impression, I believe, that because the written performance evaluations for year-end 99 and 2000 did not itemize the various performance issues, that that somehow calls into question the honesty of Mr. Haas in his decision and the honesty of Mr. Perez in the articulated reason for his decision. Ms. Jankovich cannot point to any policy or procedure that was violated in that context. We certainly recognize that as good management, and all managers are supposed to and should try to put everything in a performance evaluation that they can. But most important is the fact that Ms. Jankovich does not dispute that these performance complaints occurred in 99 and 2000. She does not dispute that Mr. Haas received those complaints, and indeed he memorialized them in his own notes in 99 and 2000. And she does not dispute that she was, that the company took those problems seriously and put her on a performance improvement plan. And then in the latter part of 2000, when the problems continued and came to the attention of Mr. Haas, the company took it serious enough to rescind the 2% raise that she was given. So certainly, what the, that they did not also put those problems into performance evaluation cannot create an issue of fact when all of those key points are undisputed. The one last point I'd like to make in my final minute is the issue of this statement by Mr. Haas that Ms. Jankovich, in her deposition, attributes to Mr. Haas. She isolates the statement, demographics of older employees. I think when we look at that testimony, it's fairly clear that at no point in that testimony does it say or can even be inferred that Mr. Haas believed the company was targeting older employees, that the company was directing Mr. Haas or any other manager to target older employees, or that Mr. Haas, probably most critically, or that he himself targeted older employees. That does not create an issue of fact as to whether his explanations are honest for his reasons to give her a C, and for his reasons, along with Mr. Perez, that led to the C rating for 2000. If there are no further questions, thank you, Mr. Perez.
About a half a minute.
Your Honor, I just want to emphasize that this Ms. Jankovich provided substantial evidence that's in the nature of the job of customer facilities engineer to get complaints, and that the one, she showed that the one complaint upon which Mr. Haas tried to rely on after she had already given her a B rating was not sufficient to warrant the reduction in her rating. And she provided testimony from Horton Logan regarding the relationship between engineers and construction foremen. And ComEd should not be able to rely on the C that was given in 1999 to say that she's not similarly situated to Ms. Knesovich for 2000. I see my time's up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Avery. Thanks, both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.